Now, we've been talking about the winners and losers in yesterday's state and local elections. It was the first time Americans went to the polls in big numbers since President Barack Obama won the White House and the Democratic Party took over Congress last year. We wanted to pick up where we left off and talk more about what yesterday's results may or may not tell us about the direction of the two major parties and how Americans' attitudes about Barack Obama and the Democrats may have changed since Obama's historic win. I'm joined now by two people whose job it is to figure out how Americans feel about a whole range of issues. Here with me in our Washington, D.C. studio is Democratic pollster Cornell Belcher. He was one of President Obama's lead pollsters during the campaign. He's advised some of the key Democratic candidates in this election. Also joining us by phone from Richmond, Virginia, is pollster Frank Luntz. He's the president of the polling firm The Word Doctors. He's the author, most recently, of What Americans Really Want. Really, he calls himself an independent Republican, but he tells us he's not working for any current political campaigns this cycle. I welcome you both. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cornell, let me start by talking about one of the campaigns you were involved in. You advised Kasim Reed, state senator, in his mayoral bid in Atlanta. What are your thoughts about that, about what happened there? We mentioned that Mary Norwood may be a city council member, may become the first white mayor of Atlanta in three decades if she prevails in the runoff. What do you think were the strains and the through lines of that race?
Well, I think that election is a lot less about race than it is about change. And I think, and I know we're going to talk about this as we move forward, but I think there's a thread that runs through a lot of these elections, that you're still looking at an anxious electorate that is still looking for change. And I think the candidate who best resembles that change and best sort of encompasses that change, whether he or she be white or black, will be well positioned. Now, I know our history and I know the importance of Atlanta on the racial scene. And some would argue that all races in the South, you know, always have a racial element. But I think we're very proud of the fact that in this election, you know, none of the major candidates made that an issue. It was not a major issue. It was not a deciding factor. And you're looking at voters in Atlanta, among the most sophisticated voters anywhere in the country, looking at which candidate best represents change and going to make that decision.
So do you think that in essence, this was an anti-incumbent move, not just in Atlanta, where there is no incumbent, obviously, because Shirley Franklin has completed her two terms is leaving office, but in New Jersey, in Virginia, you feel that this was more of a move against incumbents, whoever they may be.
Well, see, and it'd be interesting to hear what Frank says about this, but I think it's more complicated than anti-incumbent, because I think you're looking at an electorate that's really looking for change, be it on the right or the left. And when you look at the result, you know, when you look at a state like New Jersey, where we say is the economy stupid, but the truth of the matter is Corzine won those voters who were saying that they were voting on the economy by over 20 points. He lost those voters who were saying that they were voting that their major issue was change by plus 30 points. So I think it's different to say it's anti-incumbent. I think it's more pro-change, and those voters and those candidates who can get best around that sort of ideal of change and speak to the anxiousness will be well positioned.
So Frank Luntz, what do Americans really want, really?
Well, I'm lucky to have spent time interviewing about a million of them, and that's why I wrote the book, was to try to figure that out. What they really want, in a word, is accountability. And that was the number one word that was used by Chris Christie in the New Jersey election. It was the ad that he aired the most. It was the language that he used the most against the incumbent. And when you consider how Democratic-leaning New Jersey is, accountability, I believe, is what carried him to his election. Virginia's more conservative. It may have voted for Barack Obama by 6 points, but you can argue that it is a slightly Republican-leaning state, or at least it had been, even though it has two Democratic senators. In that place, it was the issue of who was more likely to provide an economic climate that Virginians felt would, number one, create jobs, and number two, keep their taxes down.
I want to ask each of you the question I asked our previous political reporters, this whole question of whether this election is in any way a referendum on President Obama, the performance of his administration so far, and the Democrats in Congress. Frank Luntz?
You have to say yes, it is, for this reason. The people who disliked the performance for the last year of those in Washington, and I don't necessarily believe it's Obama, I actually think it's more about Congress than Barack Obama. We've done focus groups all across the country, and those who were more angry with Washington were much more likely to vote. And that in itself is a referendum.
Cornell?
I think it's no way a referendum on Barack Obama. Barack Obama still, you know, fairly popular in both those states, and there were no federal issues on that ballot. You know, I think that the election that's more resembles or is more telling about a national or to a national extent or is what happened in New York. I mean, look, New Jersey is about property taxes and it's about corruption. And Virginia, you know, and roads are always an issue in Virginia, especially in Northern Virginia, and as well as those tax issues. So I don't think it you know, Barack Obama was not on this, and frankly, a lot of people sort of talk about, you know, what happened to that electorate, that Obama surge electorate, you know, and I'm
well,
one.
Well, it's also because in Virginia, many people say Credidge just wasn't a very good candidate. I mean, he couldn't secure the endorsement of Doug Walter, who's a former governor, former mayor of Richmond, who's a notoriously sort of persnickety character, but he wouldn't endorse him. He was the first black governor of Virginia. He would not endorse Credidge. Sheila Johnson, who said supported Barack Obama in the presidential election, the co-founder of BET, she crossed the party aisle to support Bob McDonnell. Some people say Credidge was just a bad candidate.
Deets certainly did not energize that Obama surge, that surge vote. And, you know, it was a very different electorate in Virginia. I mean, that electorate in Virginia right now we're looking at, it was a lot more conservative than it was, and it's a lot less young. You didn't see an African American bounce in that electorate, like you. Quite frankly, you did see an African American bounce in New Jersey, although Corzine Rand, you know, didn't come out of Bergen County the way we would have liked to have seen him come out, and Christie ran really well on the shore. But it was a different electorate, and I think that the telling thing for Democrats here is you got to pay attention to that surge electorate. You got to pay attention to that Obama coalition, and I argued for a while that they are not necessarily strong Democratic voters. They are Obama voters and they are change voters. And if we don't pay attention to them, if we don't work them, they're not going to turn out for us. And it's hard to turn these red states blue without that Obama coalition.
Go ahead, Frank, but I just want to clarify what Cornell is saying. Are you saying that the Obama effect only is present when Obama is present?
I don't think you can bequeath your voters to anyone. You know,
who you are.
Right.
I don't think you can
bequeath your voters and say, oh, here are my voters, take them and do what you will with them.
Well, the key thing for me is looking at the independents, the people in the center, those that will not align with either Republican or Democrat. And Barack Obama did incredibly well for a traditional Democrat. He won a majority of independent voters, and his favorability is still in the mid-50s among independent voters. But it has fallen the farthest of any group because Republicans were never supportive. And in these states, a Republican winning in Virginia by more than 10 points for governor is unprecedented. A Republican winning in New Jersey, just winning in New Jersey by 4 points, this is better than Christy Todd Whitman ever did, is unprecedented. And it's not that Republicans voted more or that Democrats voted less. It's that independents who had voted Democratic in 2008 switched and voted Republican in 2009. And that, to me, is the story of this campaign and what both sides need to pay attention to for 2010.
I think part of that is true. The Republicans did run better among independents, but let's be clear.
A lot better.
But Barack didn't overwhelmingly win independents in Virginia. It was like 51-47 last time around, you know. And he basically split independents in New Jersey last time around. We have to pay attention to the electorate. You got it. You know, there's a coalition there that came out to the election that Democrats have to continue to work if they're going to turn red states blue. And that coalition was not there. And if we Democrats don't pay attention to that younger, more diverse coalition, well, then we're going to have a hard time turning red places blue.
If I may add one last thing, mm-hmm. which is that it's not just about politics, because that's not being fair to the voters. They're not looking at it that way. They're looking at in terms of jobs, taxes, economic opportunity. And when I was asked last night, summarize it in a few words, I can summarize it in two. Go slow. That there are some in the Democratic Party who want the president to speed up, to really push on health care, to get it done, to do all the various pieces of legislation, to do another stimulus package. I believe, in looking at the exit polling numbers rather than my point of view, that this is a message among the electorate, at least among those who came out and voted yesterday, that they don't want as much of what they're hearing and seeing from Washington. And that in itself is also essential for, for people to pay attention to.
Finally, in the, just a couple of minutes that we have left, let's talk about what election results mean for Republicans and conservatives. As we just briefly touched on this race in a congressional special election in New York that, you know, I don't know, the word civil war is overused, I think, because, you know, actual wars are being fought right now. I think we should be careful with the language that we use, that no bullets were flying, but a lot of very harsh words were flying. And we see different data that says that on the one hand, a larger number of Americans sort of self-identify as conservatives than had previously. On the other hand, you hear party leaders talk of deep concern about whether the party is sort of shrinking and becoming a party of kind of southern white men with a very narrow base of issues. So, Cornell, I wanted to ask you, and then Frank, I'll ask you to close. What do you think election results say about the future of where the Republican Party is headed and the conservative movement within that party?
Well, look, you know, don't take my word for it. Take it from Newt Gingrich. What happened in New York is problematic. Where you and quite frankly, this is the beast that the Republicans have created when they sort of propped up and perpetuated and embraced these sort of the Tea Party and sort of these far right fringe elements. This is the monster that's going to come back and eat away the middle swath of the Republican Party. When they're running moderates out of the Republican Party, and Frank talked about how important those independents were, well, those independents, you know, by their very nature are not strongly ideological. They're not strongly partisan. So when you have an element of the right that is literally, you know, killing off politically moderates in that party, and you got a party that doesn't have room for the likes of Arlen Specter in Pennsylvania, you know, that's a real problem nationally, because those middle American voters, those independent voters, they're not strongly ideological.
Frank Luntz, final thought?
What Americans really want, really, is the party that puts an end to wasteful Washington spending, is the party that promotes economic and political accountability, is the party that holds both Washington and Wall Street responsible. If the Republicans end up promoting those values, they will return to where they were in past elections. If they end up dividing, then you'll have an outcome like New York 23. It's up to the Republicans to demonstrate to the public that they're the party of economic accountability.
Frank Luntz is the author of What Americans Really Want, Really, and the president of the Virginia-based public relations firm The Word Doctors. We were also joined by Democratic pollster Cornell Belcher. He was one of President Obama's lead pollsters during the campaign. He's the president of Brilliant Corners Research and Strategies, based here in Washington, D.C. Thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.